1 Kings 17, let's stand together. We'll read several verses and then we'll be seated. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17, verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. You know the rest of the story. She took care of him and God took care of her. I want to speak tonight on this. We have a lot of decisions to be made in life, some daily decisions, some smaller, some greater. And I just want to kind of remind you of something. We probably covered this kind of truth going through Proverbs. But I want, teenagers to listen. I want adults to listen. Some of you teenagers, listen, if you're a junior or senior in high school, you should really be praying about what's next in your life. And college is not cheap. And you've got to have a plan. You've got to know not everyone's going to go to college, but you need to have a plan. What are you going to do when you graduate? If you're in high school, you should start thinking about what you're going to do. I knew Brother Greg. Brother Greg and I have been friends since the third grade. I know by the sixth grade for sure, man, I wanted to go to A&M. That's what I wanted in life. And then, of course, God called me to preach. But so many young people today, just kind of, you're just drifting. It's just the next video game. It's just the next, there's just nothing there. So this is not just to young people, but that's my thought by way of introduction is, young people, you need to be praying about what God's will is for your life. I believe we have some God-honoring, God-loving young people, and I believe God wants several of you in full-time ministry. And you've just yet to surrender yourself. Now, I don't want you to be preacher called. I want you to be God called. But what does God want, all right? That's the question tonight. But what does God say? Adults, we're going to make a lot of decisions in life, and several of us making a lot of decisions maybe here in the near future. And we know what we think and what we want, but what does God say? And that's, I want to use that, just that challenge, that reminder tonight. Let's pray. Lord, would you help us to see this truth from Elijah? And I believe it's right here on paper, and it's so clear in these next two or three chapters. It's so clear that we need to know, we need to hear from heaven. We need to know what you say about the decisions we're about to make. So help us, Lord, to see this truth tonight. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Elijah was certainly a man greatly used of God. I had the privilege of going to Mount Carmel there in Israel years ago with several preachers. And it was just an amazing thing to stand there on that mount where Elijah prayed down fire from heaven. Certainly, he was used of God. Something I find very interesting in the life of Elijah is how he moved only at God's bidding. That is so important. He moved only at God's bidding. Let's look at it there in chapter 17. And notice this theme throughout his life. Chapter 17, look at verse number 2 again. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And notice what happened. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. God said, go, and Elijah went. Look at verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee up to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went. God spoke, then Elijah moved. Look at chapter number 18. Chapter 18 and verse number 1. The Bible says that it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Verse 2. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. All right, so we have a lot of decisions to make in life. We need to make sure they're God-led decisions. I don't think it's a coincidence that as you're reading through chapter 17 and chapter 18, God is saying, Elijah, all right, move. Elijah, all right, go. Elijah, all right, here's the direction you go in. And the Bible says, without delay, that Elijah did exactly what, without delay and without debate, Elijah did exactly what God wanted him to do. So I don't think it's a coincidence that you come to the end of chapter 18 and you find verse 46 there, and the Bible says this, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Why? Because Elijah was in the perfect will of God. Why? Because Elijah did not make a move unless he knew that it was a God-led move. Whether it be to buy a house, whether it be to buy a vehicle, whether it be to choose a college, whether it be to, you name it, whatever's going on in your life, we cannot afford to be flesh-led. We need to be God-led. Look at chapter 19 there and look at verse number 15. Chapter 19 and verse number 15. Still, God is leading Elijah. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi. Look at verse number 19. So he departed thence. And that's where he found Elisha. Why? Because God said, go. And Elijah went. Look at verse, look at chapter number 21. Chapter number 21. And God is dealing with Ahab about Naboth's vineyard. And chapter 21, God is still leading Elijah. Chapter 21, verse number 17. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess, whither he has gone down to possess it. Thus shalt thou speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And shalt thou speak unto him, saying, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. All right, so God said, Elijah, I want you to go meet Ahab. And Elijah did exactly what God said. Flip over to 2 Kings chapter number 1, just a couple of pages there. And we see the pattern continuing until Elijah went to heaven. 2 Kings chapter number 1 and verse number 3. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king. Verse 4, now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And that is God giving a message to Elijah to share with the king. And Elijah departed. God said move, and Elijah moved. All right, the kids, you like to play that game Simon Says. Maybe it has some kind of different name now, I don't know. And you jump to the right or left, or you step forward, or you step back, or whatever it may be. And then they say, well, Simon didn't say. Now, I'm not trying to bring God down to a level of Simon Says, but that is exactly the way we ought to lead our life. Is if we don't have peace, if God is not guiding us, we need to just sit still until God opens the right door. Look at 2 Kings chapter 1. Look at verse number 15. Verse number 15, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him and be not afraid of him. And he, Elijah, arose and went down with him unto the king. Last example here, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. By the way, it's a good thing, those of us who are dads and moms, it's a good thing if we follow God in our life, if we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because there are other people that are affected by the decisions that we make. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. Verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. So you see constantly Elijah moved at the word of the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says about God's directing our steps and our decision making. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Psalm 119, 133, "Order my steps in thy word." We need God directing every move that we make. The Bible says in Proverbs 2 and verse number 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." All right? We want to be on the good path. We want to be on the right path. And the way to do that is seek wisdom from God and from God's word. Proverbs 3 says this, my mother's life verse in verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall." That's a promise from God. Our problem is we don't like God's timing. Well, I thought by now we'd be in this house. Well, I thought by now we'd get rid of this old car. Well, I thought by now I'd be able to have that career. And I want it all, and I want it all right now. "Know in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And then a familiar verse in Psalm 37 and verse number 23, the Bible says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." If you want to enjoy your life, you've got to live a God-led life. You're going to get yourself in a bind. You're going to get yourself in trouble. It seems right now, but if you're not careful, you're going to hurt yourself. Look at what the Bible tells us about ourselves directing our steps. Look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, I'm going to read out of Proverbs 12 and verse number 15. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Now listen, you're not just a fool because you're 13. There are some people that are fools in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, because they have all the answers, because they have so much pride, they're not dare going to ask their dad for his advice or their mother for her advice or their preacher or someone in their church. They're going to drive that thing themselves with no help, no counsel at all. And buddy, listen to me, you're going to drive that thing right into a ditch. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse number 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and verse number 9, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." The word devise or deviseth means to invent, to contrive, to form in the mind by new combinations of ideas. All right, that didn't work, so let me figure out how I can make this work. To form in the mind by new combinations of ideas, new applications of principles, or new arrangement of parts. We devise our way. We plan and we scheme, and bless God, we want it, so we're going to make this happen. And the Bible says, but the Lord directs the heart. What does that mean? That means that the Lord tells us what is the exact right path in our life. He directeth his steps, the Bible says. He'll give you a straight path. And so in other words, this happens. This is very common. Someone, if you find yourself having some sort of conversation like this, You're talking to your spouse and you're saying this, I think we could do this. And your spouse says, I don't see how. And you say, no, I think we could do this. If I get that overtime and we get it and we have that amount of overtime and it works that way for 2 or 3 weeks, and then if we get that same tax amount back that we get, by the way, they're talking about this payroll tax cut thing. Be very careful, because if you do get something like that, they're not even hiding it. They're telling you you're going to pay that back. What they give you in a break the rest of this year or whatever that is, they're going to be taking double out next year. It's going to hurt you bad. But, if you find yourself saying, well, and I'm not talking about planning. I'm not talking about dreaming. Nothing wrong with dreaming. We guys, a lot of times, we'll dream out loud. And our wife is there to say, calm down now. And bring reason to some things. But I'm talking about your life is about finagling and planning and scheming. And, well, I know we can't do that right now. But I tell you what, if we did this and this, then I think we could afford that nicer house. And I know right now we can barely pay our $300 a month rent, but I know a new house would cost us $1,000. But I know that if we just, if maybe you could work a little overtime and maybe you could have a little side job. And if I did this and if I did that, and friend, listen, I just don't believe God works that way. Just God, we have to learn to be patient and wait on God. I'm just trying to help you keep yourself from trouble. Now, we have a lot of bright ideas, and we'll arrange and rearrange all the parts until we somehow come out looking like the decision is the perfect will of God. But friend, God is not the author of confusion. Now, let me show you what the Bible says about what God sees when he watches us making our own plans. Like he just kind of sits back and see, the Bible says this, Proverbs 5 verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. All right? I think sometimes God looks down from heaven and he looks at us. I can almost see him with folded arms just saying, what in the world are they doing? What in the world? Hey, can I say something? I don't say this often now. I mention offerings because the box and all that stuff back there. But there's some folks in our church, you've been robbing God since you got your job. And it's never going to go right for you until you make sure God is a part of your tithes and offerings. I mean, we owe that to God. The tithes are non-negotiable. We owe that to God. And so, man, if we're scheming and planning and we can make this and we can make that, we better plan in some tithes if we want the blessings of God upon our house. I saw a Facebook post by a family member, a distant family member, that they're loading on a plane today to go to the beach somewhere and I'm thinking, man, I'm telling you what, that looks cute, and thank God for being a good mom and dad with that little baby. But if they don't get a Christ-centered home, I don't care how many pictures you have of that baby. I don't care how many trips you take as a family. If that baby lives and dies without Christ, you did not do your job as a parent. You may look like parent of the year. And I'm telling you, all you young adults in here, get a Christ-centered home right now, which involves never questioning whether or not you're going to church. It involves getting out of bed and getting to Sunday school. It involves putting God first with your finances. If you don't now, you'll struggle the rest of your life. And so sometimes I think God looks at us and says, what in the world are they doing? The Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse number 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. In other words, God knows our motives. I've mentioned that to you. I've mentioned that fact that God knows our motives. God knows what's going on. I've mentioned that in the sense of people staying home from church. God knows if you have some underlying conditions, if you're aged or whatever it may be, you're really trying to protect yourself. God knows that. Nothing to worry about. But God also knows if you're just lazy. God also knows if you stay home from church to protect yourself and 6 days a week you're out running around everywhere else. God knows our motives. We have to be very careful about making decisions outside of the will of God. The very first command that God gave to Elijah put Elijah in a place of sustainability. In other words, and told him in our text, in our chapter there, 1 Kings 17, he said, I want you to go to the brook Cherith, and you go there, and I'm going to take care of you. And God did take care of Elijah. Why? Because Elijah obeyed God. God met Elijah's basic needs. One of my pet peeves is to watch people make horrible decisions without counsel, without seeking the leadership of God without prayer, just run and gun and make those decisions. And whether it's a marriage, whether it's a vehicle, whether it's their finances or a house or a school or a ministry, and they make those decisions, and then they somehow claim that God is not providing for them. Well, you did that on your own to begin with. I'll give you an example that most of you in here, you wouldn't even understand this particular example, but this is what eats at me. I hear it from people from time to time. This eats at me when I hear people in ministry say something like, well, you know, if you're going to be a minister, you just don't have anything and you're just going to be broke. And sometimes I'll put stuff like that online. That makes me sick. Because again, it doesn't matter if you make a little or a lot, you have to manage your finances. Don't blame the ministry. Let the ministry be not blamed. I happen to know some of the people that make those sort of statements cannot manage a dollar. They don't manage their money. Don't blame it on God that you run to Walmart every time you get a little extra money or you have to buy something new every time your spouse gets a raise. Don't blame that on God when you look up and everything is broken in your life. We've got to get to this place where we quit making our own decisions and we start learning how to wait on God. Let God open the doors for us. The Bible says in Proverbs 13 and verse number 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. To transgress is to go beyond a limit. When we go beyond God's leadership in our life, we're going to look up and we're going to be living a hard life that we didn't have to live. Now, let me give you this, and I'm coming down to the end on the thought here. I want you to notice, I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter number 19. Of all the stories about Elijah, and we read, God said, go to the brook Cherith. And so he went. God took care of him. We read where God said, I want you to go, and there's going to be a lady there, a widow of Zarephath, and she's going to take care of him. And the Bible says he went, God took care of him. And every step along the way, God said move, and Elijah moved. But out of everything you read about Elijah, there was one time when God never said, go. Let's see how it turned out. 1 Kings 19 and verse number 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Elijah took off running. He came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. This is the one time when God never said go. The one time Elijah had no power. The one time Elijah lost his passion and his zeal. The one time Elijah didn't want to go on. The one time he got his eyes on others is the one time Elijah recorded that Elijah made a major move and God never said that's the move to make. It's the one time that God had to ask Elijah this question. Look at verse number 9. Look at verse number 9. He came thither under a cave, 1 Kings 19:9. He came thither under a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? You ever gone? I've looked over the last several months at vehicles. I like to go to Carline. I'm just about done. I want to let you out early tonight so you can fellowship or go home or whatever. I like to go to car lots after they close because I don't like the salespeople to bother me. Now, they're getting smart. They're not putting as many window stickers in the... In fact, they have window stickers now, and right beside the window sticker, there's a defibrillator. All right? So you can be like, that's a nice one. Oh, Elizabeth! Yeah. But I've considered, you know, I've looked, and we've been married 21 and a half years. From the greatest years of her life. We've been married 21 and a half years. Y'all pray for me. All the mother-in-law jokes are gone now. I've got to come up with something different. That food was so good, it'll make you want to slap your sister-in-law. Amen. All right. As long as Brother Tim doesn't amen. See, he just said preach. I was trying to save you. Anyways, I was thinking the other day, I was riding down the road taking Sarah to Tennessee a few weeks ago, and we were just talking about vehicle situation. And I said, you know, one thing I'm glad about with your mom and I is we've never really rushed into a lot of stuff. We just kind of, I said, Sarah, you know, I've paid off 4 vehicles in 21 and a half years. I said, I've got the title to 2 vehicles. Two vehicles, a mower trailer. I'm kind of happy about that. And 4, that's a lot in 21 and a half years to pay off 4 vehicles. And I said, I'm antsy about getting another vehicle, another truck. I've got to have a V8. These little plug-in things, just, they don't work for me. We were talking about it because we drove to Tennessee in Sarah's car, that little Ford Escape. And man, when you've driven a truck, Brother Brent, when you've driven a big F-150, when you get in a little Ford Escape and you're out on Interstate 40, you feel like you're going to get killed. These diesel drivers, I'm not going to mention any names, when the sun goes down, the foot goes down on the pedal. I'm not going to say it was a long trip, but man, I had the Highway 40 blues, if you know what I'm talking about. And so I was talking, I said, Sarah, I can't handle, my nerves are just about shot. I feel like everybody's headlights are in my back of my window. I said, if one thing this trip's done for me, next vehicle I buy, it's going to have to be another truck. I can't drive the go-kart across as much traveling as we do. I can't do the go-kart across the country. So I'll go to these car lots every once in a while. And man, I'll look. Joshua was with me, I think, a couple Saturday nights ago. And we went up there looking at the, you know. I mean, you ain't getting anything under like $46,000 these days that has an engine in it that'll get you, that'll fit a family. But you know what? I go and I look and I pray. You know what I want more than anything else? I want the leadership of God. Once you sign that contract, it's a done deal. I know there are a lot of young adults in our church right now that are looking for houses, and I feel for you because they're hard to find rent houses, and when you find them, they're very, very expensive. And then you try to find another house you want to, maybe something you could buy, and it's very, very expensive. But I believe that God loves you as much as He loves me. And I believe that God opened the door in our life for things. And I believe if you'll be content and wait on God at the right time, in the right way, if you're praying about it and looking, don't try to finagle things. Thank God for what you have right now. And God will open the door at the right time and in the right way. The one time Elijah made a move and God had to say, what in the world are you doing here? Elijah was miserable. So God had to remind Elijah that the most powerful voice in all the world was the voice of God. Look at chapter 19 there, verse 11. He said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go. It was the Holy Spirit of God. It was that still small voice of God that Elijah had to get back to listening to. And I just want to say to all of us tonight that the most powerful voice in all the world is not our own. In Psalm 46:10, God said, be still, be still, be still, and know that I'm God. Hey, listen, be still long enough to let God speak. I don't know why I'm on the house thing. I just know we have a lot of young adults in here, and I want you to have the best. But if we had some of these older folks in here stand up tonight, I don't know why I'm saying this. No parents talk to me. No grandparents talk to me. I have zero clue about anything that has to do with your personal alliance. But if we had some of these older folks stand up in here, they would tell you, well, I can tell you this. My parents, when we moved to Wills Point in 1984, he started the church in 83. We drove back and forth from Grand Prairie for a year in 84. And for a year on the weekend, we would stay in an apartment right beside a restaurant in Quinlan because my mom's uncle owned it. And it was an office building with a bedroom, and we would stay there. But in 84, Dad came out, and he didn't look for the best. He just looked for what would work for his family with his income at that moment. And Dad got us in a farmhouse. And guess what? Shane and Sean and I lived in, we had bunk beds and a trundle bed. If you know what a trundle bed is, they roll underneath the bed, they'll pop up. I'm just fearful that in this social media day and age where we want to impress everyone, that we have a lot of young adults. I'm not putting you down. I love you guys. I just don't want you to see you at 30 thinking, man, we had the opportunity to do things right and we blew it because we were worried about what everybody else thought. And every time you have a different kid, you don't have to have a different room. And I know the feeling. Oh, what are we going to do now? Listen, when we first started with Sarah, we had the green Chevy truck. Sarah sat in the middle in the baby seat. You make things happen and you pray, God, whatever's next, we're going to let you open that door. And look, shop around, whether it's a house, whether it's a vehicle, whether it's a career, whether it's some more college education. Look around the Bible colleges, do those things, dream big. But at the end of the day, say, but we ain't making a move. If we're sitting here counting our peanuts at the table going, if we move that to there and if we did that and if this worked out this way, I think we got it. I don't think God's in that. Just trust me. I don't believe God's in that. Wait on God. Let God move. The one time where God didn't say anything to Elijah and Elijah moved anyways, he looked up and he was miserable and wanting to die. Be still and know that I'm God. God uses, what does God use? To speak to us, he certainly uses a still small voice. It's not going to be an audible voice. It's not going to be a, hey, dummy, what are you doing at this car lot? You can barely pay your rent. Well, I'm tired of fixing my vehicle. Well, fixing your vehicle costs you $500 a year. A new vehicle costs you $500 a month, plus insurance. On that full coverage insurance on that vehicle, what doest thou here? We're not going to hear that. I wish we did. Sometimes I wish God would just slap us in the head. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, you know when you can't get peace about something. You know. Well, it's like, this is just not right. I know this is all me doing this. He uses a still small voice. He uses his word. Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. And the verse you've seen a million times when you're trying to make that decision, that's the verse that will speak to you in some certain way. He uses his teachers, his preachers, other good Christians, and the multitude of counselors. There is safety. Some of us ain't gonna like this. But I've been pastor long enough to know this is one of the biggest problems with many of us, some of us in this room. It's going to be cold, hard truth. We have to shut up long enough. That's just truth. That's not for everyone. That's for a lot of us. All we do is talk. And in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. And what we have to do is just be still. And say, man, I'm dreaming, I'm thinking, I'd love to do this, I'd love to see this happen. But a real man of God, and I'm talking about men in here, is going to say, but I don't want it if it's not God's will for my life, and for my wife, and for my children, and for my home. Yes, she and I, every time we're out driving together, we drive to Arlington tomorrow night to eat, we'll be talking about where we would like to go on vacation, and we might get to talking about maybe a new vehicle, and we might get to talking about some home remodeling, and we might get to talking about, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, let's just stop and say, but what does God say? What does God say? All right, when God said Elijah move, he moved. But there was that one time where God didn't say a word, and Elijah said, but this is what I want. And he wound up miserable. So, all right, we don't have to be. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way.